Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio on this Easter Monday, April the 9th in 2012. This is Barbara speaking, and today, as every Monday at this time, we offer you inspiration and the opportunity to connect with your soul for the next 55 minutes. Today, we invite you to join Jen, me, and our guest Baraka Robinberger when we talk about the topic of beauty. At the moment, we're trying to get Jen into the show, so, I think she's online now, so she'll be with us any second. I just want to say it's an amazing time at the moment, and if we are experiencing balancing issues, just do yourself a favor and take a deep breath in and breathe out, and do it again until you feel yourself grounding again, because it is so intense right now what's happening with Easter, with the energy of new beginnings, with the shift and the changes, with everything that's happening in your own personal life and that you can see happening around you in other people's lives, in your community and in the world. If you watch the news or listen to the radio or read the newspapers, keep yourself grounded. It is so vital that we stay balanced at the moment. And I guess we're going to talk about this in a little while with Baraka and with Jen also, because the topic of Baraka is beauty today, and how beauty can help us heal. This is what resonates with me, and I totally go with the affirmation that Baraka has put out there for our show today. She's put it into our Facebook event page for Purpose Talk Radio, and hopefully we can all talk a little after the show while we're there. If you want to call in, please don't hesitate. You can either call in through Skype, and the Skype is BBS Radio, or if you are listening in through our website, Purpose Talk Radio, you can see the phone numbers you can use to check in with us. And if you have any questions or if there's anything that you want to tell and share with us, come on, dive in and phone us. And I think Jen's with us now. Jen, are you there?
I am here. Hi.
Hi. How are you today? I'm fine. How are you? Okay. I can see that.
I thought I was hearing an echo, so that's why I was hesitant.
Go say on then. Again. Just go on then.
Are you done? Is it my turn? Am I supposed to start talking?
Yes, it's your turn.
Okay. Well, hi, everybody. This is Jan. A little bit late getting in here. We had some more technical difficulties, but here I am, and we're glad to have you join us today. I hope I don't repeat anything that Barbara has said, but if I did, oh well. So once again, we come to you live from Northern Germany and Southern Oregon, and today also from Gloucester, Massachusetts, where Barbara and I went while we were in Boston last year at our first ever live meeting. It's a great pleasure to have us, to have you be here with us, and we're excited also to have Baraka with us today through our force and why she chose to work with the divine and purpose. We hope you're going to call in with your questions. And always it's going to be an interactive show.
Right. I'm losing you, Jen. Okay. Doug just said, our host on BBS, he wants to reconnect with Jen, so I'll just continue talking a little here and we'll see what comes up. Hopefully everybody's connection is pretty good and you can hear us all right. So yeah, as I was saying, it's all about balance really at the moment, and I can say that because I'm experiencing balance issues as many as are possible in a day at the moment, and it's going up and down. It's not by the minute, but it's about every few hours there's something coming at me and I'm looking at it and I'm going, is this my own? And that is another very vital thing, that now we have the chance to always check in with ourselves, and when something comes flying at us, to check, is it really ours? Is it our own thoughts? Or is it somebody else's? Like, we're all so connected to the collective consciousness right now, because it's such a great time of awakening, and many of us are already sitting here with being wide awake, and we're all very sensitive, and we do tend to connect with the collective consciousness and with all that's going on, all the emotions that are being experience right now, all the issues, maybe past issues, maybe present issues, pains and hurts that are happening left, right, and center. And it's just amazing when we realize, okay, we can actually step out of this and regain our own balance. So once again, check in with yourself on a regular basis, and please remember to breathe and remember to eat and drink properly, because I can say for myself, over the past few weeks, eating wasn't my first priority, but it's necessary for us. Unless we go into this state where another means of nourishing our body, keep eating, and stay balanced, definitely stay balanced. And now I think Jen is going to be with us in a few minutes again by being called on the phone because there is technical issues. So the energy is building up. And I can hear my own echo now, so I'll just continue. Yeah, it's a roller coaster really at the moment. And it's what I'm experiencing, and I'm sure many others are also, is that there's many discussions between our hearts and minds, which it's another thing of staying aware to the fact what's happening here, and then making informed decisions after maybe having a meeting with our inner team to see what's happening. And remember the picture of the roller coaster. I've been reminded often over the past few months that life is a roller coaster, and there's a song about this also. And yes, for me, I can say that's another truth. That's definitely what's happening at the moment. Okay, Jen is back. Are you there, Jen?
I am back, yeah.
Oh, good. So will I just hand the introduction over to you then? Let us know a little bit about you.
A little bit about me. Okay. Yes. Well, as everybody, or most everybody knows, I've been instructed to introduce the angels each week on this program, and that I'm an angel messenger. And that means I deliver insights and messages that inspire and touch your soul. And there are times we want to know that someone who has passed out of this physical world is okay, and I'm privileged to be able to speak with them, to see them and hear them, and to act as kind of a liaison between the worlds. I love being able to do this. It is so, I was going to say it's so much fun, but it's so rewarding, and it's so interesting. And it also is a challenge because sometimes I get messages that I hear or I understand, and I go, what is that supposed to mean? But it doesn't mean anything to me, yet it means something to the person who's listening. So there's always that challenge of allowing spirit to talk and allowing the messages to come through without trying to control them. And I like being able to do it also because, partly because it helps you to know that these loved ones are truly around and want to talk to you, and because of the love that I feel flowing from me, through me, from the angelic realm. Their messages are clear, and they always have your highest good as intent. And they want you to be happy and successful in this life. So my work is to help you when you're ready to get in touch with your angels and with those who've passed from your life, or you want to develop your own intuitive abilities. So when you're ready, you can contact me at janrevel.com. That's J-A-N-R-E, V as in Victor, E-L-L.com. Or you can email me, jan@janrevel.com. Great. So, we all have drawn a card for today, right? Barbara,
yes.
Do you have your card ready?
Oh, yes, I have my card ready. It kind of jumped at me. There I was again, standing in front of my different card decks, asking which one. And then I picked one, and as I was going through the cards, one really jumped at me. And then I turned it around, and the card deck is the Wisdom of the Little Women, which physical size-wise, I'm not so tall myself, so this fits very well. And it was gifted to me by a very good friend who's about the same physical size as me. So from one little woman to another little woman. And the card that jumped at me today shows a woman dressed in a rainbow-colored dress. And she's standing on a piece of rock, and she has her arms stretched out, and there's flower petals falling down from the sky all around her, and she's catching them with her hands. And the ground is covered in these flower petals also. And the message on this card is, make your life blossom. which is totally beautiful, especially in times like this, especially with the new beginning, which some of us might have celebrated with Easter. And it's something that I've just mentioned a few minutes ago that's coming once again, the choice and the chance of making a new beginning. We can do that every day, really. And make your life blossom is a beautiful message for all of us, especially now in spring where everything is starting to blossom. That's my card for today.
That's beautiful. Thank you. So, Baraka, did you draw a card today, and would you like to tell us about it?
Well, I did. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, good. Yeah, I chose a card from a deck of goddesses, the Goddesses Knowledge cards, and the paintings are by Susan Sedon Boulay, and the text is by Michael Babcock. And the card that I drew was the High Priestess. And the artwork on it is really quite beautiful. It has a picture of a beautiful High Priestess, and she's holding what appears to be a scroll that has to do with knowledge, I imagine. And in her robe, there's the face of the goddess. And so what it says on the card is that the priestess is the direct representative of the goddess on earth. She has direct responsibility for functions that ensure fertility and ongoing creation. Priestesses often were responsible for ensuring rain, for the goddess was the giver of dew and rain. They often tended a sacred flame, the embodiment of the creative spark of life. The High Priestess is the great goddess herself, a universal figure found in many guises as Isis in Egypt, Kuan Yin throughout all of Asia, Athena in Greece, and Rhiannon among the Celts. And of course, we know that there are many other goddesses in different forms. This goddess is all-knowing and all-wise. She creates life out of herself and bestows life-giving waters. At the proper time, she takes life away so that the divine spark in each person may be free to continue on its journey. And these next two lines are what, for me, seem to really relate to what I wanted to speak about today. And that is, the High Priestess is a reminder of the innate wisdom in each of us. She demands that we connect to the divine spark within and manifest it in the world.
All right.
Wow.
That's a powerful card.
Very powerful card. And it's interesting because I forget that I have this deck. I can't even remember how it came to me. And when I was looking for a deck to choose a card today, there it was speaking to me. So there she is.
And at some point, you're going to be publishing your own goddess deck, right?
That is the hope. I've been working on this deck for actually since I started doing feminine archetypes about 20 years ago.
Well, I hope it's not going to take another 20 years to get that deck out, because I'm sure interested in seeing it. I love your artwork, so I want to see it.
It's pretty ready to go. I just think I need to fine-tune it and add some more cards now, since I've done so much more with feminine archetypes since I finished it. Yes. It's been on hold.
Okay. Time to get off the hold and onto movement, huh?
Well, I appreciate that encouragement, Jan. And I'll take it to heart.
Good, good. Well, the card I drew is called The Accompaniment. And, of course, my deck is one that I put together myself, all by drawings or paintings by Sulamit Wulfing, who was a German woman. She died actually not too long ago, just a few years ago. And this is a deck I put together many years ago. In fact, they were postcards, and on the back of them they say 50 cents a piece, so that'll tell you how old they are. In any case, the card is called The Accompaniment, and it shows there are seven figures. The middle one is, I can't decide if she's a bride or a bride going to a wedding, or if she's a priestess, a young novitiate going into the priesthood, whatever you call that. And then there are three younger and shorter girls on either side of her, each with flower headbands and each holding a candle flame accompanying her. And it really brought to mind today the whole, I had to laugh because each one of us has drawn a card that has all female energy on it or female figures on it. So I thought that was kind of fun. But this card is, it shows movement forward. And the woman in the middle, who is the going to her wedding or her initiation, is looking up, and all the other girls are looking down towards the ground. They're kind of helping her walk along, I guess. But she's looking up, and she's not looking at her feet. So she's not paying attention to all the nitty-gritty details, to every pebble that's in the road on our path. She is looking up at her goal. She's looking up at her passion. She's looking up at the path that is before her, that is above, and not taking into consideration, not even caring about those little bumps in the road. And I think that that's, Adriana posted a thing on Soul Healing Circle about edges and coming up against our edges, and that's where we can stretch and we can push against them and expand our so-called comfort zone so that it's really larger. And to me, this card speaks somewhat to that because, again, this woman who's in the middle is not looking to at the things that could cause her to stumble. She's looking at the bigger scope of what is in front of her. And it also brings to mind all the beauty because of all these beautiful young girls and the flowers in their hair that are accompanying this bride. So there's my card. Barbara, do you have the affirmation from last week?
Oh, actually, no.
Well, I'm wondering.
No, I don't have the one from last week. What was last week? I can't remember. It's so long ago.
I know. I'm Abby thinking was it that. Was, I let my soul lead the way.
Yes, last week.
Which fits exactly. Right in with all of our cards, too.
See, that's it. I let my soul lead the way, and my brain going, why am I supposed to remember an affirmation from last week then? Excuse me. Yeah, I really like what you said about, no, I don't like it actually, but I find it interesting, enlarging the comfort zone. I'm not so sure if I really want to do that myself personally, but it's an interesting thought because, yeah, it's all about, that goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the show about balance and checking in with ourselves of what's happening. And I'm just personally not so sure if I want to enlarge my comfort zone or just jump out of it and try something new. So,
But that's part of what enlarging it is just jumping out of your comfort zone and experiencing something new and see what happens, because you may or may not like it. You may or may not be comfortable there, but that's why it's not in your comfort zone. But by jumping out and getting those experiences and the feelings and the thoughts and all of the ideas and new knowledge that comes with it means that your comfort zone has just expanded exponentially.
Yeah.
So pretty soon, you know, the comfort zone is way bigger. We use it, often we think of comfort zone as being something that's really a small, like the little aquarium. And we are kind of like fish in the aquarium. You know, you put them into a bigger aquarium and they still swim in their same little box until they get used to the bigger aquarium. And some of us just go jumping into an aquarium that's three or four sizes bigger than what we're accustomed to and figure out what's going to happen and hope that we don't get eaten by some bigger fish.
Mm. Well, I mean, what I really like is the, as you were saying, we all drew pretty feminine cards today, and I'm sure Baraka is going to talk about this feminine, the sacred feminine that she works with, and that all leads me to this term of beauty, because when I was tuning into what's going to happen today, this is what came up for me, the aspect of beauty, and how beauty can help us heal. And as you were saying, the small pond or aquarium, put the fish in a bigger aquarium, it takes them a little while until they can figure out that this is much more beautiful and how much beauty surrounds them. So this would be my way of leading gently towards Baraka now. Is there anything you have on your mind, Jen, that needs to be said in this today on this show right now?
No. Well, I wanted to let everybody know just real quick that we have our musical theme piece has finally been, everything sort of been worked out. And hopefully by next week, we'll be able to introduce it. So I'm really excited about that.
Yay! I am me. I am who I am. I can't wait because I'm going to sing with
you. You want to sing it?
For next week. Then. No, not really. Not really. Not yet. Let me practice a little with that before I do that on the air.
All right. That sounds good. Well, in that case, I don't have anything particular. Do you want to introduce Baraka, or would you like me to introduce her?
Yeah, go on, Jen. You introduce her, please.
Right. Well, Baraka Berger is an intuitive artist who has done a fairly wide variety of artwork in the course of her career. And we're going to bring her into the show now by asking about something she and I talked about in a recent conversation. So, Baraka, you were telling me about your landscapes and how there are places people can go in contemplation that they can take you to another place. And you said that for you, it's like looking through the landscape in front of you as though a crystal, almost like manifested sound or vibration. So I wanted to ask you if you'd start there and talk a little bit about that.
Well, yes, I remember we were speaking of that. When I started doing these landscapes, I had sort of developed this technique of drawing into my monotypes, which was the medium that I was doing and still do, with technical pens, and it led them to be very, like facets of a crystal, you know, all these different planes, because I was allowing the artwork to show me what it wanted me to do to it. To bring these forms forth, that it was as if the landscape or the artwork was speaking to me, and I didn't really have to put my preconceived notions into it all that much. So it felt to me like I was looking at a real live landscape through a crystal. You know, when you look through a kaleidoscope.
Yeah.
And it's all fragmented as you turn it.
Right.
Yeah. It felt like looking through a crystal at the landscape. And I found them to be very different than anything I'd ever done, but that they seemed to be places where you could go to in your meditation, or almost like portals into another dimension or to a space that was an alternate reality. And they were just finding themselves to be very healing and meditative and peaceful places. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And you said something about you were going through some healing work, which is kind of how you got started in that. And you talked about, I'm going to see if I can repeat this, like homeopathy, flower essences, and Reiki are healing through energy. Vibration is energy. Artwork can be energy manifested. So
right.
So people who are drawn to this healing artwork, like energy work or music and meditation, art is another form of that.
Yes, I was going through my own healing process of some chronic issues that had been, you know, hanging on for, you know, a while. And I was seeing various alternative healers, energy healers, massage therapists, chiropractors, more energy healers. And I happen to live in a community that is just chock full of alternative healers. And So I know that this plus my meditation practice was really affecting my artwork. And I always play inspirational music when I'm doing my artwork, sort of depending on what it is I'm working on, you know, whatever it might be that I choose to listen to. And it dawned on me at one point that the forms that were coming forth, it was almost like the vibration was crystallizing into this piece of art. How can I explain it? Toning, when you tone.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the music that you were listening to influenced the artwork that you created at the same time?
Well, I think everything that was happening in my life was affecting the artwork. The healers who I was seeing, the energy work that I was doing, this beautiful place that I live, Gloucester, and the ocean. And the light here is very unusual, as you probably, you know, witnessed when you came here last summer. So all that plus, you know, listening to music and my spiritual practice. And I was working with crystals in my meditation. So the colors were shifting and becoming more crystalline where they'd been more earthy before. And all this stuff was happening. And to me, it was almost like I could feel the artwork as, well, it was definitely vibrational. Art is vibration manifest. That's the way I think of it. As sound is vibration manifest, music is vibration manifest into sound, something that we can hear or sing. Artwork is like the visual representation of that. So do you ever remember seeing that movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Yeah, right.
And at the end of the movie, the spaceship comes down and they actually communicate through tones.
Right.
Well, to me, this was just another method of communicating to other people, as if it were through toning or music, but through color and light. Okay. I think it's a little difficult to understand when you don't have the work in front of you. The other thing is I use a lot of iridescent colors in my work and mm-hmm. interference colors, which are opalescent, so that there is even more of a vibration effect when you look at it. In fact, when I work with these colors, it goes straight to my heart and to the different energy centers because of the iridescence. Yeah, so it all sort of works together in that fashion.
Yeah.
It's a little abstract.
You said that at one point you were doing portraits and pictures, and you said that everything you had been doing had already been done. So, and you talked about artwork without a greater purpose and ask and you shall receive, and I wanted to see if you'd elaborate on that whole part of that conversation a little bit, because it was pretty interesting.
I was in my, wait a second. I'm hearing an echo. Why would I be hearing an echo?
That happens sometimes when spirit gets involved.
Aha. All right. I think that's better. I was living in Maine and I was doing sort of black and white monochromatic etchings of people I'd met in my travels. And people in my community, characters, you know, and I was very fascinated by faces always since I was a child. And but at one point I had this epiphany, and that was that everything I was doing had been done before. And in most cases, it had been done better than I was doing it. And probably better than I would ever be doing it. And so at the ripe old age of 28, I went through a period of being sort of I don't know if I would say depressed, but you know, this was a big turning point for me. The work that I'd been doing, all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, what's the purpose of this? What's the meaning of this? Yeah. So at that point I decided that I wanted to do something that was meaningful, and I wanted to do something that was different and that was important. So of course, I didn't really know what that was. I had no clue what that would mean or how it might show itself in my work. And so I was thinking, when I was speaking to you about it, I was thinking of that saying, ask and you shall receive. And, you know, I think that that's true. You do. You receive when you ask for something, or you ask a question, you receive guidance if you're open to it. But sometimes those answers don't come immediately. Sometimes they take years to really understand that they're, you've received those energy, those answers. And for me, it did take years. And my answers continue to take years. Every step of the way, the ones that I notice most. But it was a defining moment for me. And when I moved to Gloucester in 1978, I was just going through my Saturn return. I was turning 30. And I started working with monotype, which meant I was working larger. And monotypes are one-of-a-kind prints, by the way. You paint on a flat surface or an etching plate, you know? And I was working with large plates, and I was using and still use oil paints in washes with rollers and with brushes. And I started developing this technique of drawing into my prints with technical pens and eventually with color pencils as well. So when I mentioned that, you know, the artwork was telling me what it wanted me to do with it. Mm-hmm. That's how it was coming forth, by drawing into my prints. And the monotypes, if you've ever worked with a monotype or you know them, in their raw form, they're very loose. They're not as defined as a drawing or an etching might be, or even a painting for that matter, you know. So I was putting in all the detail with pen and ink. That lent itself to the crystalline forms as well.
Oh yeah. So how did you come to start working with goddess images? I mean, did that lead into that from what you were doing?
Yeah, well, I, you know, was doing my landscapes, and I still do them, but I became pregnant in 1988 with my daughter. I knew I was having a daughter, and I knew that I wanted to start working with goddess imagery, and I wanted to, you know, provide strong, wise, and compassionate role models and archetypes for my daughter as she grew. And I didn't know how the goddess was going to show herself in my work at that time. It was another thing that, oh, yeah, I decided I want to do this. And then, you know, in a few years, she sort of just appeared in one of my landscapes as if she was awakening. And I was so excited about it because there she was, you know, she came. And so I started, you know, using a little manipulation, maybe you might say, and actually intentionally putting goddesses into my prints. And in the beginning, they were sort of emerging, you know, there was a face or a hand or a wing, you know, and they were very abstract in the beginning. But so I named them my Emerging Goddess series. And because they were emerging, they were coming into fullness, coming into form, as we all are coming into fullness and form. And that happened about the time my daughter was 4 years old. I'd say 3 or 4 years old, that I found the goddess in my artwork. And I see them as representing archetypal qualities that are emerging from within us, and they serve as visual mantras and affirmations for men and women as our personal healing and growth is unfolding. So the sacred feminine, I've become increasingly passionate about the importance of bringing the goddess into my artwork as time has passed. I feel like it's absolutely essential to our healing as a planet and as humanity for us to recognize the fact that God is everything, God or the divine spirit, however you want to refer to spirit, is both masculine and feminine. It's all two halves that make the whole, you know?
Yeah.
There's and the so balance again.
There's what?
The balance again.
The balance.
Yeah. Sorry?
Oh, and I was going to say the six-pointed star is a wonderful symbol for this because the inverted triangle at the bottom of the six-pointed star is the chalice, the feminine. And the upright triangle is the blade or the masculine. And where they come together is in the heart of the star is the two, masculine and feminine, coming together. And, you know, when masculine and feminine merge, we have life. So life is created through that. So I just think that that's a wonderful symbol and very profound.
So you, would you like to give us your affirmation for today, or do you want me to say it, and then I want to ask you what it means and how it shows up in your work.
So, I'm happy to give it.
Okay.
And the affirmation that I chose, that I came up with, was, I choose to be a reflection of all the beauty that surrounds me in my words, thoughts, deeds, and in all that I create.
All right. So what does that mean to you, and how does it show up in your work?
Well, I think it's really important, again, like the High Priestess, to take responsibility in life for making the world a better place or whatever it is we aspire, you know, if we work on ourselves and become the change we want to be, we are reflecting the macrocosm, right? So for me, how we think, how we speak, and what we do is really important. You know, we're human. We're not perfect. We fall and stumble along the way. But if we can just hold our intention, because, you know, they say intention is, you know, 95% of what we want to manifest. We're 95% there. So I think that by holding the intention to bring beauty into life, that we are creating, however we do it, for me, you know, through my artwork and hopefully through my thoughts and my words and my deeds, we're creating a healing of this planet, because in life nowadays, you know, we're bombarded by so much negativity. And this refers back to what you were saying at the beginning of the show, Barbara. You know, they're everywhere we look on the news and TV shows are focusing on betrayal and conspiracy and these heinous crimes. And they teach us to expect ugliness in the world, and they teach us to expect more of the same. So expectation creates reality, you know? We are what we think we are. And that being said, if we surround ourselves with beauty, kindness, love, and joy, then we learn to expect beauty, kindness, love, and joy. And right. out of this expectation, we can turn around and create more beauty. And thus, by paying it forward, we create our world of beauty and healing.
Awesome.
So, Baraka, how do you work with clients? You obviously offer your pictures, your artwork. Is it like people come into a gallery and you talk with them about the pictures, or is this just the start? And do you offer courses in that so that people can create their own artwork also?
Well, first of all, to answer your last question, I did teach when I had my studio outside my home. I taught sourcing inner creativity through the art of monotype and some other courses as well. But right now, my studio is in my living room. My living room is my studio. And so the space isn't quite large enough. But as time goes on, I'm sure I will be teaching again. And I really enjoy, I incorporate meditation, visualization in those classes. And because this process evolved for me in the way it did, you know, it was wonderful to be able to share that with my students. And it was amazing what people did, people who thought they had no talent at all. You know, it just, everybody has it in them, you know?
But, I don't know. I think I'm one of those who says, no artistic talent.
Well, you know, it's sometimes it's just a question of working with color, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, but that's not happening right now. I do have a website for my artwork. And can I give that now?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, it's www.barakarobinberger.com, and that is BarakaRobinBerger. And I also, well, so on my website, I have a store and I have a blog that I enter posts on once, you know, not as often as I should be probably, but, you know, I like to write about my work. And I do my landscapes and I do my goddesses, and sometimes I will do a commission for someone. I just finished a piece for a client who knew very much what he wanted, and it became sort of a collaboration through meditation and energy exchange, and it was really a wonderful process. I'll be posting that piece on my Facebook page and on my website shortly, you know, hopefully within the week. And I also do personal energy portraits, which are, I do them sometimes, I'll do them over the phone or I'll do them in person if somebody comes to my studio, where I will sit and meditate with that person, either in person or over the phone. And we'll talk, we'll do a visualization. I'll ask them some questions. And then I begin to paint. If they're with me, I'll paint while they're with me. If they're not with me, I'll paint after they hang up. And it's always fascinating to me to see what emerges from those sessions. And then when they dry, because the prints tend to change after a couple weeks, the colors become more clear and the forms get a little tighter. But in the energy portraits, I don't actually define the forms because I want to leave some things to the imagination and of the client who's commissioned me for this energy portrait. And it's more like an energy landscape than an actual portrait of that person. And
Excuse me. It's not like you're not like painting their aura or are you? I mean, are you getting in touch with their soul, if you will, and painting that inside of who they are?
Boy, that's a big, big responsibility, Jan. Painting their soul and getting to the inside. I think through meditation practice and the particular path that I meditate with, it's very much about, you know, being able to walk in someone else's shoes. And I think that what I'm trying to do is sort of reflect the energy that I feel coming from that person. And it's usually in some kind of landscape form or a very amorphous being that will come mm-hmm. through. And when it dries, what I do is I will put like a tissue, you know, a piece of tracing paper over it, and I'll draw a pencil drawing of what I see in that uh-huh. piece. And then I write up some notes and some suggestions for how to use a portrait, you know, in contemplation or meditation. But ultimately, it's up to the person to use it in the way that they feel. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I know we talked because you're going to do a cover for a book for me.
Yes, I'm very excited about this.
Contemporary Women Spiritual Leaders, and you're going to do the cover for that book. I'm pretty excited to see what comes out of that, too.
Yeah.
So you have a Facebook page where people can connect with you as well?
Yes. So if you go on my website, you can actually click onto my Facebook page, and you can friend me, or you can search for me. Really, you could click on me from Purpose Talk Radio site, can't you?
Yeah. We've got your Facebook page and your website posted on the purposetalkradio.com, right?
Yeah, that's great. And I also have a fan page. I'm trying to build more activity on that page. And, I post a piece of artwork every day. And sometimes more than one, and sometimes I skip a day. And I usually transfer it over to my regular site as well. But as my fan page gets busier, I may, you know, be more specific on each of those pages. But I welcome guests, I welcome likes, and I welcome you to visit my website. And let me know how you feel about the work and if you're drawn to it in any way. I also want to say that the originals, in this economy that we live in, sometimes original art can be above our means, but I also offer computer-generated prints of my goddesses and soon of my landscapes that are much more accessible to people, and they're like $25 online, unless you're out of the country, and then I have to just, you know, include some extra shipping charges, depending on the country.
Right.
Yeah.
So we talked about classes for a minute, but do you have any upcoming classes that you're going to be doing?
Not until I get a studio space outside my home. There's just not really enough room here, you know, for me to print and hold classes. But I have a feeling, that it's not too long in the future. Things seem to be moving along right now.
Yeah.
I also don't have a lot of other distractions right now.
So if there's anybody in your area, Baraka, if there's anybody in Massachusetts, in your part of Massachusetts, that has studio space to offer, that I'd say we welcome them to contact you, right?
Yes. I have given workshops in other people's studios, printmaking studios. I'd like to use a press when I'm teaching this particular technique. It's not crucial, but it's a particular technique that allows the person who's doing the class and the artwork to be able to let go of all preconceived notions on how one is supposed to create artwork.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So, thank you, Baraka. That was. I've been connecting with your art before, and just listening to you today gives me so many different angles of looking and relooking once again, and connecting in a different way also. So thank you for all that you've been sharing with us today.
Well, thank you both, and thank everybody, She-Wolf, who I haven't heard your voice yet, but I just want to thank everybody for having me on the show. It's been wonderful to connect with you, and I've enjoyed it so much.
That's great. Thank you. And I'm looking forward to that goddess deck when you finally get it done, girl. I'm going to keep pushing you until you get it done.
Well, you'll be one of the first to know, I promise you.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Barbara, what have you got to say for yourself now?
I'm happy. I'm contemplating, and I was going, when Baraka was talking, I was going into my own visuals of landscapes and the way that the pictures come out, and that was pretty good for me, walking along while Baraka was talking in my own the divine spark that we were talking about earlier, that the creation, and what would I draw if I was a person that took a piece of paper and starts drawing, which gives me, and Baraka was talking about color. Sometimes it's just about using some colors, and I was nodding and grinning because that's part of that's the way. If I then get a piece of paper and some pens and crayons, that's the way I draw. And that's giving me more inspiration to go back and do some more drawing. Thank you, Baraka, for that.
All right.
My pleasure.
And I think of it on the affirmation, I choose to be a reflection of all the beauty that surrounds me in my words, thoughts, deeds, and in all I create. And right now, my living situation is not the most ideal. So when I go into my space, my private space, and I always think of my home as being a sacred space. So when I go into my sacred space, I've made sure that there are good colors, that there's music playing that I love. I open the door and I hear the music and I go, oh, that's nice. And I have, you know, a reed diffuser going so that it smells good, and pictures that I like that are just beautiful. And then one of the things that I've done, here's some of my artistic ability. I took one of those cafe rods, you know, the little curtain rods that you use in the kitchen or in the bathroom, and I put the hooks on them and put that on the hook. So I've got this curtain rod, and then I take all of my earrings and I hang them on this curtain rod. And I take rings, or I put a little S hook and I hang necklaces, and I just keep going with all of those colors so that when I look at the wall, there's this array of color that shines at me. And to me, that's really important. So even though I can't draw or paint, there are other things that anybody can do to bring a reflection of beauty into their space.
I totally agree with that.
So we want to talk a little bit about, we're going to have to close now. We're getting really close. Remember, you can have joint coaching sessions with Barbara and me. So you can find out more about that at purposetalkradio.com and check into the Who Are Jan and Barbara section. And then remember, you can listen to the recording of the shows on Purpose Talk Radio, and you'll find information about upcoming shows. You can find Barbara at barbarapatterson.info, and you can find me at janrevel.com. And we hope you'll join us next Monday for another inspiring soul-warming conversations, an inspiring hour of soul-warming conversations. So for now, we offer you soul greetings, and we look forward to sharing with you again next week. So we will say our goodbyes for now.
Bye.
Bye.